All right, the first of the two parshiyos this week is Parshas Achrimos, and it discusses the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and one element of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim that is very memorable and it's very emotional, and if you're a Yishai Ribo fan, you would probably want to sing it, is V'Kohanim V'Am Ha'omdim Ba'Azara, that the Kohanim and the Am, when they're standing in the Azara, K'sha Yishomim Es Hashem Enichbad V'Anore Yotzim Pi HaKohen Gadol, B'kedusha u'betahara, when they would hear the shame hanichbad v'hanora come out of the Kohen Gadol's mouth, b'kedusha u'betahara, it would be korea u'mishtachave, korim u'mishtachave v'noflim al pneim v'omrim, baruch shem kvod malchuso li'olam va'en. Right, exactly. So apparently the immediate reaction to hearing Hashem's name is to fall on our faces, bow on the ground, and declare an immediate blessing of Hashem's name. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Olam Va'ed. So you hear Hashem's name and you go down, right? Bow and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Olam Va'ed. Problem is that the Shulchan Aruch paskens in halacha that we pretty much have the opposite reaction to hearing the Shem Hashem. Shulchan Aruch paskens in halacha that when we bow during Shemona Esrei, we kneel at Baruch, we bow at Atah, and then we straighten up in order to say Hashem's name. So when we say Hashem, we straighten up, we don't bow down. So which reaction is really the right reaction to the Shem Hashem? Meaning, is it better to fall on your face when you hear the Shem Hashem? Is the Shem Hashem meant to elicit that kind of reaction? Or should we instinctively straighten up when we hear the Shem Hashem? Stand at attention. It seems like there are these two opposite reactions. That's question number one. Question number two, last year, Parshas Achrimos happened to have fallen out on Erev Rosh Chodesh. So question number two relates to the Haftarah of Machar Chodesh, even though this year it doesn't fall on Erev Rosh Chodesh, but this is last year's Dvar Torah, so I'm going to, you know. In the Haftarah of Machar Chodesh, there is something that jumps out when you read, it helps make the point that I want to make. There is something that jumps out when we read the story of the Haftarah. If you're not paying super careful attention to why, and you don't analyze why, and you just like listen to the words or read the words of the Haftarah of Machar Chodesh, so it's the extraordinary friendship of David and Yonasan, while at the same time balancing Shaul's very complicated relationship with David. And there was this Seuda, and they would have on Rosh Chodesh, and the entire family would get together, and David didn't go to the Seuda. Shaul wasn't happy that David was absent from the Seuda. And you look through the Haftarah, and there's a lot spoken about David. Shaul keeps asking about David, Yonasan keeps responding on behalf of David. David and Yonasan have a whole conversation in advance and afterwards. And so there's something that jumps out at you, and that is that in this long conversation, half the time David is referred to as David, and half the time he's referred to as Ben Yishai. And if you don't, you know, again, if you don't like really analyze it, it's striking. Like, why would sometimes he be referred to as David, and other times he'd be referred to as Ben Yishai? Then a third question, also not related to the Parsha, but, you know, going back a few more weeks, if you go back to Pesach time, so one of the classic questions on the Haggadah, you know, there are certain questions that you can be guaranteed, no matter which family it is, no matter which Seder you're at, this question will be raised at the Seder every year by every family, right? So one of those classic, there are like two or three of those, maybe more. There are at least four, but, you know, beyond those four, there are a few questions on the Haggadah that come up all the time. So one of them is the difference between the question of the Ben HaChacham and the question of the Ben HaRasha. You know, it seemed to be very similar questions. They both use terms that seem to indicate that they're associating the Avodah of the night with other people rather than with themselves, right? Whether it be, what is it, Eschem and Lachem? Avodah Zos Lachem, Avodah Eschem. So Rav Shachter jokes that it must be an old joke, that the Rasha's question is more grammatically correct than the Chacham's question, because only the Rishayim learn Diktuk, you know, the Bnei Yeshiva don't learn Diktuk. So that's, okay, so I'm going to get hate mail for that, but it was a joke. What indication does the Rasha give through his question that he's really any worse than the Chacham? We know that the Rasha doesn't mention Hashem's name, but like, why is that the most terrible crime in the world that he's not mentioning Hashem's name in the question? So the Yesod is as follows. In Lashon HaKodesh and in Jewish practice, there is an idea that when we find something to be abhorrent, when we find something to be horrible, horrific, too unbecoming to talk about, we have a practice of not calling it by its name, of just not mentioning the name of that which we are speaking about. When we talk about a certain person who we find to be very damaging person in history, we might refer to him as Oso Ha'ish, as opposed to calling him by his name. When we talk about certain body parts, we might use a more generic term like Aver, rather than a more descriptive term of the body part itself. Or we might say Oso Makom, as opposed to a description of the body part. When referring to a particularly putrid, non-kosher animal, we might refer to it as a Dovaracher, rather than what it is. And even in Yiddish, when referring to a particularly horrific disease, we'll refer to it as Yene Machla, right? Because we don't want to refer to it by name. There is this concept that when something is horrible, when something is something that we just repel, then we don't call it by its name. And there's a reason for that, because when you try to create a sense of distance from somebody or something, you avoid using a name. Names are very effective at bringing about a connection. You know, there's a minhag in many communities for married people not to refer to other people's spouses of the opposite gender by their first name, right? So like in to me, my wife would be Ilana, but to other men it would be Mrs. Leibowitz, right? So that's not the practice everywhere, and nor am I suggesting that it should necessarily be the practice everywhere. Probably if I were to suggest that it would be the practice in North Windermere, she would no longer be Mrs. Leibowitz. You know, she would be pretty upset about that. But the practice reflects a certain reality of connecting to people through their names, that we use names to connect to people, and it's a recognition, a nod to the fact that because a name creates a certain sense of connectedness, that we want to create a certain sense of distance between different genders, to sort of take away the comfort level. Agav, it happens to be, Rav Shechter thinks that it is a good practice, that should be observed. He once told the story of, he had to call someone up, an old Talmud of his, and he called the guy up, and the wife answered the phone, and he says, "Hello, Mrs. So-and-so, how are you? Is your husband home?" And she said, "Rabbi Shechter, you don't have to call me Mrs. So-and-so. What, did you forget my name? My name is whatever." And he's like, "Ataka did forget her name, but I think it is, I would love like a peek in that brain, you know, like how he remembers like every Chazanish from when he was a teenager, but like, you know, the name of like, you know, someone that, it's so interesting. But anyway, so he said, but it's still, it's very appropriate, right? Still, it's a nice thing that, to call someone." Rav Asher Weiss once commented to me that he thought that it was a little ridiculous. He's like, "You know her name, you know, you talk to her, nothing is, inappropriate about saying the name of." So it's interesting, right? Two Rebbeim, one who lived in YU his whole life, and the other one is a Kleizer Murder Chassid, and the one that thinks it's just so funny how these things play out sometimes. But anyway, there is this concept that that when you use someone's name, it just creates a sense of connectedness. On the other hand, or not using someone's name is a way of creating a sense of distance, I should say. And when you use someone's name, it creates a certain connection. The willingness to use a name, it shows like an emotion. A person's name is very often, for people, it's the sweetest sound they can ever hear. They love to hear the sound of the name. If you think about the last time someone said your name and they were actually talking to someone else in the vicinity, right, you feel a little surprised. Even if they aren't listening, even if they're involved in another conversation, the minute a person says your name, like you immediately turn around. They're not talking to you, but like it, you drop your conversation right in the middle. What, you know, what's that? They could be talking about anything else, and it won't cause you to drop your conversation. It just happened to me the other night. I went out with my wife for dinner, because, you know, Five Towns Rabbi, and no, I'm just joking. we had a gift card to a nice restaurant, and tax season is over, so my wife was able to breathe easy, so we decided to go celebrate the end of tax season. So we went out to a restaurant, and we were sitting all the way in the back of a restaurant, and my back was to the whole restaurant, so my wife could see what's going on, and she likes to see, I like not to see, so it was perfect. And all of a sudden, I hear from like two tables over, pretty loudly, a guy says, "Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. And like, I'm about to turn around. My wife's like, don't turn around. He's not talking to you. He's talking about you. So that was interesting. but like your instinct is to turn around and to see to see what's going on. I do not know. I listened a little. I think it was about the Pesach tweet, but whatever. But anyway, I don't know if it was in favor or not in favor. I just put on my hood and rushed out of there. Anyway, you hear your name, like it caused you. When our parents were very proud of us or very angry at us, they used our names. When someone wanted our individual attention, they say our name. When someone wants to make you feel special, they say your name. This maybe won't resonate with you as much as it does for people of my generation. You might not even know the reference. But when I was a kid, I learned everything I needed to learn from television. And one of the things that I can tell you, and I could even sing it to you, but I won't, is that sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And that was the theme song of a very, very important show. They're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name, right? That's I told you the thing with Rabbi Wolf told me with what's after ER, right? Someone, a girl was on a high school interview and asked what's after ER. She said friends because she thought ER, whatever. Okay, there is this connection that's created. Rabbi Razner told me once that many years ago he used to have the zechus of driving Rav Melech Shechter to Zichron Levracha to yeshiva. Rav Melech was Rav Shechter's father. He taught here for a long, long time. He was a very, very old man when he was still teaching Nida and Avelus. And Rav Melech lived in Borough Park, as did Rabbi Razner at the time. That was before Rabbi Razner got the shul in Woodmere, so he was living in Borough Park. His wife was in medical school. He would drive him to YU. And Rav Melech, he used to tell him Vartlech all the time. So Rav Melech explained to him that the Rasha is showing his true colors by not mentioning the Shem Hashem. Not just because of the general value of having Shem Shamayim Shagub Beficha, but not mentioning the Shem shows a certain unwillingness to call somebody by the name. That reflects a certain sense of distance automatically, right? That's the Mesivas writes on the Haggadah, that Baruch HaMakom relates to the Ben HaChacham, Baruch Hu. Hu is like distance, it's like third person, right? That relates to the Ben HaRasha. If you take a more careful look at the Machar Chodesh Haftorah, you'll notice that the name David doesn't randomly switch back and forth between David and between Ben Yishai. Rather, each time Shaul refers to him, he's called Ben Yishai. And each time Yohanan refers to him, he's called David. Because Shaul was feeling very distant from David, so he didn't want to call him by his name. Yohanan was as close to David as one human being could be to another. It was an Ava She'ena Tuluya Bedavar. So he refers to him by his name each time. The name of his friend is music to his ears. When one says the name of Hashem, there's an automatic sense of connectedness. There's an automatic sense of meaning. So we value Yaakov having Shem Hashem Shagur B'Piv, unlike his brother Esav, right? That's how, Hakol Kol Yaakov. Clearly, Yaakov must have tried to disguise his voice. He wouldn't have been so silly to come in and not try to sound like Esav. No, but the words that he spoke to, Shem Shemayim, Shagur B'Piv, like Rashi points out. So Rabbi Reisman pointed out that while the name of Hashem is meant to provoke a deep emotional connection, there's a difference between hearing the name of Hashem and one who presents or declares on his own the Shem Hashem. When we hear the Shem Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, B'Kedusha, B'Tara, Yotze Mipi Kohen Gadol, it elicits a response of subjugation and appreciation of the Kedusha. Nofel al Pneihem. But when saying the Shem Hashem, even the Kohen Gadol himself, when saying the Shem Hashem, we stand upright. Because when presenting Hashem to others, we do so with a great sense of pride, that we're representing the people of God. And therefore, when I present HaKadosh Baruch Hu to other people, we do so with a great sense of pride, and we stand up straight. Both are emotional responses, and that's the key, because a shame always elicits an emotional response. It's just depending on context. Sometimes the emotion is one way, sometimes the emotion is the other way. You know, the Ramban writes in his Hakdama to his commentary on the Torah, the Kol HaTorah Kula Shmosov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entirety of the Torah is the name of Hashem. Now that obviously has very deep Kabbalistic meaning. How do I know that? Because the Ramban tells you it has very deep Kabbalistic meaning. But maybe on the simplest level, the Ramban is telling us that in order for us to feel connected to Hashem, in the way that only calling somebody by their name can accomplish, we don't need to actually say the formal Shemos Hashem. You're not allowed to say most of those, just stam, but we spend our day engrossed in Shem Hashem, in what is essentially the Shem Hashem, because the Kol HaTorah Shmos of Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. And when we learn the Torah Hashem, it's a source of not just of an intellectual accomplishment, which it's that too, but it generates this emotional bond with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Talmud Torah is meant to do. We're supposed to be connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the deepest way, the way you can only connect to a person when you say a name. Stam, it's a good eitzah, you know, when you deal with people, you know, go on an interview or whatever, whenever you have to create a warm relationship with somebody, using the person's name helps. I once read a book called Give and Take by Adam Grant, and he writes there, I don't know, I've gotten emails when I've quoted this in the past, that's not really true or whatever, but let's presume it's true. They studied the baby names of different cities, like the most common names given and written on birth certificates in hospitals in different cities. And apparently, even though the names Phil and Jack are roughly of the same popularity in the country at large, if you're from Jacksonville, you have a much, much higher chance of being named Jack. And if you're from Philly, you have a much, much higher chance of being named Phil. We have a friend, Phil from Philly, right? So so you have a much, much higher chance of having that name. And then he said, and not only that, people had a much higher chance of moving to the city that sounded like their names. And then he went even so far, he said, people named Larry had a higher chance of becoming a lawyer, because it sounded like Larry. I don't know if any of that is true, but it's pretty cool. I mean, people like to associate with their names. It's a good way to warm up to somebody. But for our purposes, we want to warm up to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore we're Osek, you know, Kol Yom Kulo and Kol Laila, and deep into the night in the Shem Hashem. Okay.